Episode 91 of the Busting Balls podcast. They're John and Chris. I'm Jeffrey. You can hit us up on Twitter at Busting Balls Pod. Email us bustingballspod@gmail.com. You're listening to us through our native SoundCloud feed, soundcloud.com/busting-balls, or the PWOM podcast network, soundcloud.com/prowrestlingonly. And you can search us on Spotify. Search Busting Balls Podcast. Today's topic is MLS failing football. John, Chris, and Jeffrey dissect where Major League Soccer is going horribly wrong for the sport in the USA and elsewhere. John, Chris, what's happening, brothers?
Surely we are but 7 short days from the Leverkusen tag being buried forever.
Holy cow. And you know what? Let's not forget Bayern Munich helped them in this. By throwing away a 2-0 lead away to the Giants that are FC Heidenheim.
Indeed. And while we are in the subject of Germany, obviously we're at this juncture of one game away from a Bayer Leverkusen lifting a title, ending Bayern Munich's reign of terror. But let's not let it get buried in the course of the discourse this season that Stuttgart, who were relegation candidates at one point, are sitting in third place with the same amount of points as Bayern Munich has.
And furthermore, they were only promoted back up into the Erste Bundesliga last season. Or the previous one, I guess. But you know what I mean.
Yeah, it's been the most interesting season in Germany for a long time. And this is even with Bayern being on course for more points than last year. That's how good Leverkusen have been. That's how good Stuttgart have been this year.
And don't forget, last season it went to the final day, too. Let's not forget that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But, it's simply amazing what Leverkusen have done. And, you know, now they're even going on to the Pokal final. Unfortunately, The dream is over for FC Saarbrücken down in the Dritte Bundesliga. They lost to Zweite Bundesliga relegation candidates FC Kaiserslautern.
Man. Their dream's still alive, at least. So
that, what even is Germany this season, besides possibly the most interesting league there is?
Well, to be fair, we have gone on as a theme on this podcast some years about how good the Bundesliga has been. Now, we're getting an actually interesting finish to the season.
We've always praised the Bundesliga. High scoring and, you know, fast paced, and now finally we have a title race that lives up to that. On that note, speaking of title races in Germany, unfortunately, St. Pauli are doing their best to throw this away. Their lead at the top only 2 points behind Holstein Kiel.
Yeah, they're comfortably in promotion spots, so that's what counts, really. Let's face it.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely going to be between. I mean, there's. Let me do the math here. There's six games to go, in the Dritte Bundesliga, unless somehow Dusseldorf sneaks in. It's definitely going to be. Right now, the St. Pauli are winning it as of right now. But they'll probably likely get promoted, like outright promoted, They won't have to play, you know, the relegation promotion playoff spot. Right now, that is where Dusseldorf is on 49 points. I am just noting though that Hamburg is now out of the spot with four. They're in fourth, 9 points behind St. Pauli. So
there is nothing better than your local rivals staying down while you go up.
I know that isn't that the thing. And usually it's flipped as to who is going to be. Usually it's almost assured Hamburg is going to be in that conversation, and St. Pauli are not. And now, you know, what do you know?
Kind of the opposite, yes. You know, but if we're kind of peering our eyes across Europe as a whole, Germany, we've talked a good deal about them. Not much.
Nope, we lost Chris.
Sorry about that. Nope, the magic of mute and unmuting buttons. I am back now. Just had to actually press the button. Technicalities aside, when we're looking at Europe as a whole and peering our eyes across it, not much has changed in Italy. Inter is still pretty much steamrolling their way to a Scudetto coming up here, but Bologna have kept their form. They're still holding on to fourth place, which... Hey, good on them.
Bologna.
Finish for them, probably. Bologna. Yes.
Bologna. Of all, no Bologna here.
Bologna. Not this time, at
not,
least.
Not this time. Not this time. Meanwhile, God damn it. Celtic had to concede that late goal, didn't they? They just had to.
Yeah, well, they conceded two late goals.
Yeah.
Scoring one themselves. It is the maximum chaos result in Scotland, let's face it. It keeps that title alive. And that last derby at Parkhead is
whenever it gets scheduled,
likely for the lead.
Yeah, that will be the title decider at this point. I mean, right now, the Huns still have a one game in hand on Celtic.
Yes.
So... right now, advantage Rangers, unfortunately.
Just about. But,
if
you gave Celtic that home game for the title, given how they have been so off-colour this season, particularly after Ange is gone, you would take it. You would take it right now. And a down season for Celtic.
Rangers are beatable. Rangers are definitely beatable.
They've been, you know, as we said last time, they have been so much better this year that there is a title race is down as much to Rangers' improvement as Celtic coming back.
Right. So, yeah, it's going to be a tight one. It's definitely going to be a tight one. Speaking of tight races, the difference between first and second in the Premier League is +9 goals.
Oh yes.
Yeah, right now, John and I will usually talk shit against each other right now, and I still kind of want to talk shit about almost going down to Man U today.
Oh,
but that being said, I mean there is no room for error for anybody right now in this title race.
Yeah, I mean the dread of everyone outside the Etihad is that City come through and take another title. No one wants to see that, apart from, let's face it, even Pep Guardiola, even his mum, even his wife and his kids, if they were honest, do not want another City title, because no one would care ever. Four in a row, great achievement. Here's 114 charges and fuck off. I'm shocked. I'm good with Liverpool, when it would be my preference. I would take Arsenal winning it, frankly, over City by a mile. Any of it.
Yeah, I mean, so right now, as we speak, Arsenal and Liverpool are tied on 71 points. Arsenal have a +9 goal difference on Liverpool. So Arsenal are top. City have a lower goal difference than any of them and are 1 point behind. That is, there's no margin for error for anybody.
And as someone pointed out, we have 8 games left. Only twice in 2 decades has a team won its last 8 games to win a title in the Premier League. So it's there. It's there for anybody to win that right now.
Yeah, and not to mention the fact that if there is a bit of tripping and whatnot, Spurs and Villa are only 10 points behind City right now, and that's still, you know, there's still enough games there to where that could be a difference if, you know, certain teams decide to fall. Plus, not to mention the fact that on all top three teams, they've got European competitions to worry about starting this week here with Arsenal getting Bayern in the Champions League, City having Real Madrid to contend with, and then Liverpool. My apologies, John. Who do they have in the Europa next on their
Oh wow,
side
we
again?
was it who did, I forgot
Sorry,
why.
no, I just sorry, Atalanta. Thank you. I
I
just
thought we
remembered
could
now. Yeah.
see you. I kept my brain was
You
going.
all legitimately forgot, didn't you?
I
Yeah,
legitimately.
unfortunately,
So
yes.
I'm thinking the other factor in this title race is there is a potential massive Champions League semi-final between Arsenal and City to come. That could be huge because that is going to take a lot of mental and physical energy
Oh
because
my
those are
God.
two sides who will cancel each other out big time, and the tension will be, beautiful. Chef's kiss. I cannot wait for that to happen.
Yeah. And keep in mind, too, that none of Arsenal, City, nor Liverpool, we don't play each other again in the league. We're done.
Is it Spurs have got to play everyone yet? All the top
Well,
three?
I know there's a definite
All
Old
the
Firm.
top three.
I said Old
Spurs and
Firm.
City have, Spurs and City have a game that got postponed, so they need to figure out when they're scheduling that. So that one still
Yeah, they
needs
do
to
need to figure
happen
that one
for
out.
them.
North London Derby,
And
I
then,
said Old Firm accidentally, but North London
oh yeah,
Derby.
on the 28th, and then they have Liverpool on May 5th.
Yeah.
If anything,
Could
this
Spurs somehow
stretch.
decide the title here?
The stretch that Spurs have is kind of going to be a murderer's row because they've got Newcastle next Saturday, the Man City game that's still postponed, so whenever they schedule that. Then they have Arsenal on the 28th, Chelsea on the 2nd, Liverpool on the 5th, and then the schedule kind of gets a little less hectic because they've got Burnley and Sheffield United on the 11th and 19th of May, and then Newcastle on the 22nd to
Right, but
kind of wrap up
that's
the
what I'm
season.
saying though is, could Spurs somehow influence? Could Spurs somehow help decide the title?
Oh yeah, there is nothing they are going to like better than having Arsenal come to,
Yeah, it's
and
gonna be
then,
huge.
yeah, that is going to be a hell of a game.
And if Ange can't win a title this season, if he can influence the title fight by taking one or two of these giants down like that, Spurs fans will take that at this juncture, especially if it's keeping them within the top four and the Champions League spot next year.
Well, right now
Champions
they
League
have the
spot is
top.
pretty
I mean,
good
they
now.
have the top four right now. They're up on Villa on
Right,
goal
but
difference right
Villa,
now,
yeah, on goal difference, but Villa is
and have
on
a
their
game in
tail, listen.
hand.
So.
That game in hand being against City, though.
True that. I mean, yeah. So Arsenal still have a game in hand with Chelsea, which is another thing that's impacting the title race, is that all three of Arsenal, Liverpool, and City have games in hand right now. Because I know Arsenal has one against Chelsea. I believe that's going to be on the 23rd of April, I believe. John, who is yours against?
Other games in hand. It got postponed from the FA Cup fifth round, didn't it? Because we did Sheffield United. We did. I'm trying to remember. I try and remember we got left because I'm just looking at the picture going, whatever. Whoever's next is whoever's next.
It might be West, West Ham because that one got scheduled as a midweek game on the 27th.
I thought it was 12:30 on Saturday kickoff. That wasn't. I may be
You
wrong
know,
here.
it doesn't. The point
I'm
is that we
running
all
out.
have games in hand, is the point.
Yeah, there's still a game in hand for you all in this case. And then we're talking about games that have been coming up. Like, interestingly enough, obviously, well, not really obviously per se, but just we have had the recent news that Nottingham Forest got deducted points, and now they are having to fight for their lives in that relegation battle as their loss this weekend and Luton Town beating the Cherries, surprisingly, kind of now has that 18th spot there be a little bit disputable as a whole.
It
So.
is, yeah. That was a shock win. I'll say that much. That was a. I thought that Bournemouth had that game.
Oh yeah,
Honestly.
and we still might see yet see another deduction for Everton as well. And actually, Everton is the game that we have in hand. All good.
Oh, it
Okay.
was a Mersey Derby that got
Mersey
postponed.
Derby, yeah.
Wow.
Midweek in the 24th or something like that.
Yeah. Somehow Chelsea have two games in hand. I don't know. Did Todd Boehly buy another
No,
game somewhere?
it's the cup games because of the FA
Right.
Cup and stuff.
Well,
So,
and the League Cup final too, don't forget.
oh, the one they lost. Yeah, I remember
Yeah,
that.
the one they lost. Speaking of Chelsea losing cups, Arsenal women retain the Conti Cup 1-0 in extra time. Stina Blackstenius. Oh God, I wish that game had been on TV here. It was not on TV here. But also, Frida Monham. Yeah, please get well.
Yeah, that's the most important part from that. Football does not matter in comparison.
Did you see what happened post game?
Which bits? The punching?
Yeah, well, it wasn't a, yeah, the shove in the stomach to Jonas Eidevall
Yeah, low
from the
laughing.
Chelsea manager, who I don't know why her name is suddenly blanking, because you know what? It's because we're on air, and that's why I can't think of it.
Yeah, it was not a classy move. I can understand the frustration.
Emma Hayes, that's who it was. Yeah,
Yeah.
the next U.S. women's national team manager. Yeah, she may be having an interesting time coming in, because this is not the first controversy she's been involved with in the last couple of weeks. Because I mean, we know what happened when she she shoved Jonas Eidevall, and I guess Eidevall had seen yellow for getting into it with a Chelsea women's player during the match, which, okay, fine, rightly so. But then later, Emma Hayes had made a comment about male aggression in the sport, which I know at least one woman pundit, Jessica, oh, I forgot her name too now. It's Jessica. She works for Charlotte FC and used to play for Reading. Hang on a second here. Jessica
Jessica
Charman.
Carter?
No, Jessica Charman.
Charmin.
Yeah, she used to play for Reading. But now she's on now she is on SiriusXM FC on the football show occasionally, and she took Emma Hayes to task over this because of how much Jonas Eidevall has promoted and done work within the women's game, almost exclusively. And for her to characterize this when it seemed like she was the aggressor in this by, shoving, going for the handshake and then psyching and shoving Eidevall. But also, Emma Hayes kind of got into it, kind of got herself in it a little bit by making comments about saying that player relationships shouldn't be allowed on teams. And she's coming to the U.S. women's national team, huh?
Yeah. I don't know about that, buddy. I'm sorry. I just
Yeah,
don't know
you
about
may
that.
have a long road to hoe there
Yeah.
because.
It's something I'm sure it's easy to manage if you don't have players, having their relationship spill over. But you've got to accept people will be as professional as possible in these situations.
Well, and plus Emma Hayes, it has been rumored for some time that she had a relationship with a player while she was a coach at one of her previous jobs.
Deeply unprofessional at best, obviously.
So, yeah, good luck, Emma Hayes. This may not be quite as easy a transition for her being the U.S. women's national team manager as she thought. Oh, by the way, U.S. women's national team won the CONCACAF Women's Nations League against Brazil.
Yes.
So cue the that soundbite that you like to
Oh,
play on your videos.
were you waiting for that, Jeff? Come on.
Brazil. Where did that come from?
So it comes from TV Global used it as a means of anytime, kind of as like a radio type jingle, anytime that Brazil scored a goal. Or I believe the start for it, they actually started using it when Ayrton Senna was winning races in Formula One in the same network, just as the like victory kind of celebration transition into the victory celebration song of it. It does have a history as a part of it, and now it's like a mimetic machine for obvious reasons. So.
Brazil! That music with the graphic. Did you create the graphic too, or?
On the videos, yes, just for like part of the like introductory stuff. Anytime that I'm doing video essays now, I am using that just because it's too good to like pass up on.
Just so you know, we're talking about on Chris's. Chris has videos on YouTube, of course, mostly Football Manager, but gameplays. But he has it so there's a bit with some music playing. You hear an announcer going Brazil with
Yeah, it's
with
been,
sound effects,
yeah.
and there's like the flashy, glittery graphics along with
It's a laser
it.
swoosh kind of effect, followed by a radio announcer screaming Brazil and then the echoing of zil, zil, zil as a part of the little jingle. I mean, to be honest, it goes as far back as radio. It goes back to like the 1970s and then transitioning that from radio into TV form. So it's been like a part of really Brazilian history in a way on the radio television world there
And now
as a
you're
whole.
and now you've
So
made a meme on your Football Manager save videos.
pretty much that's it.
So, Chris, while we're talking about Brazil, I can't help but notice you're wearing your Palmeiras shirt today.
Yes, indeed. As of this recording, we're about a half an hour away from the second leg of the Campeonato Paulista final against Santos. They did beat us in the first leg 1-0, but we are at home for the second leg, and we often have a reputation for being a team that does really well in second legs and turn things around. We're called the Time da Virada, the turnaround team for that particular sort of reasoning. So I'm excited to see the boys put in the work and get ourselves our first title of the season, ideally, since we couldn't win the Supercopa against São Paulo. That
Oops.
said, though, because we are in the subject of Palmeiras right now, I do want to bring up Endrick because, as you all saw in the recent couple of weeks, he did get another call-up to the national team, made his third and fourth appearances, respectively, coming off the bench. But the important part is he scored his first and second goals for the Brazilian national team, and doing it at Wembley Stadium first, and then at Estádio Bernabéu, where he is going to be spending a whole lot of time over the next coming years after he finally moves there in July. It was special, man. Like, it's
You
been
can't
really cool
start
to
any
see
better,
his
can you?
evolution over the past year.
Say again, John.
You can't start any better than, scoring the winner at Wembley and then at the Bernabeu. Brilliant. And yeah, I know it wasn't a particularly difficult goal, but he was in position, well taken. I like the look of him. I'm excited to watch more of him, even if he is going to be one of Franco's boys.
Yeah.
Hey, John,
It
you do know that Generalissimo Francisco Franco still dead, right?
Yeah, still Real Madrid still riding off that prestige and those social connections.
It's an old Saturday Night Live bit
Yeah.
from Chevy Chase on the Weekend
Yeah.
Update. Still dead. He had died
Again,
recently, yeah, because he had died at that, relatively recently then, so.
Florentino Perez is one of the world's greatest scumbags, but he has the mentality of creating a U25 Galacticos with Real Madrid. And that's terrifying considering who is already there and who he's adding on over the next 1 to 2 seasons here. That
I'm sorry,
I just think.
I quit listening once you said world's greatest scumbag.
You're not wrong. I should have specified one of, not the, he's not that far up
No,
yet, but
it was your
one
choice
of.
of world's greatest scumbags.
I mean, it's fun. It's, in terms of football. I mean,
Am I wrong?
he's at least
Am I
an
wrong?
intelligent scumbag. He's an intelligent scumbag because he only ever needed to pull a lever to get them out of debt once. Barcelona, they never learned that one.
Levers.
We got more levers. Which one's for the trap door, boys?
Yep.
Yeah, well, are we going to repeat the what Chris had said about levers once Barcelona had advanced in the Champions League, and we're going to repeat that one, or we're going to keep that one for the group chat?
Oh, he's welcome to.
I have to go back and actually find that again because I'm pretty sure that was a pretty good zinger on my part. Not
Yeah,
even gonna lie to you on that.
I can quote it
Well,
verbatim because, you know,
you might as well. We're here already, so.
the phrase I believe you used was lever these nuts.
Oh yeah, that.
Yeah, that one.
Every goddamn time, man, with those guys. It's like they're on the, it's like they are that annoying like phase of John Cena in the 2000s where you thought he was down and out. Nope, gets back up, five moves, and somehow they've escaped this bullshit yet again.
By the way, we are recording this during WrestleMania weekend, so yeah, we are heavy on the wrestling references today in the chat.
Truly, truly, and again, it's been one of the more hilarious things of my content creation phase where football managers are finding out the football manager player to wrestling fan pipeline is much bigger than even I anticipated on that front too. So
Well, there's a lot of that in
hilarious things
comics
all
too.
around.
I assure you, like half the comics podcasts out there will invariably go into a wrestling.
I think to a certain extent, the person who said everything is pro wrestling wasn't exactly wrong.
It's
It's
true.
just sometimes when everything is pro wrestling, you kind of attract the absolute worst. But I digress. Let's keep it
Yeah,
moving on to
let's
football
move this on.
execution
Let's move this on. Yes.
because I do want to get us over to Spain at this point for something that's been really interesting. I mean, in terms of the league itself, Real Madrid are doing their thing. Girona still have ha been having a great season as a whole, even
Yeah,
if
but
they
they're
have
out of the
fallen
title
off
race. They're
rather
out of the
considerably.
title race, though. And once again, we remind everybody that Girona are not some plucky young upstarts. They are a fully vested part of the city group. So.
Yes, indeed, indeed. But I mean, they have had the right resources in place, but they're finally kind of doing good with those resources. So, kudos to them on that front because you can have all the, as football has proven over the past couple of years, you can have all of the money in the world and still fuck this up immensely.
Shout out
But
to
in terms
Newcastle
of Spain,
United.
that's one very
PSG.
wide example. But I do want to focus on something really cool that did happen just over this weekend. The finals of the Copa del Rey between Athletic Bilbao and Mallorca. And Athletic winning the Copa del Rey for really, they've had a couple of attempts. This is their sixth attempt in this century thus far. But after a 40-year wait, they managed to get it done. Since last cup that they won, 1984, they win this one on penalties after a 1-1 draw, 4-2 in PKs. And again, the crazy part is that's something that we found out over this weekend after kind of seeing the results and such too, is that, well, Athletic Bilbao has a history of winning a Copa del Rey every 40 years, dating back to 1904. So, as John, as you eloquently put it, if you want to just fill us in on what you mentioned in the group chat last
Be right
night.
back. Be right back. I'm putting serious money on Atletico for 2064. Come
Will
on.
you
I'm
even
bringing
be
the lumbering.
alive? Will you even be alive to cash that ticket?
Well, I'll be 90, so yeah, could be.
No, I know you did just have a birthday. I thought you weren't a day over 85 myself, so
Yeah,
there
I'm
you
looking
go.
good. Let's face it. The world's oldest man is a Liverpool fan, so what can I say? There you go. John's about to beat the record at this
Of course,
point.
I'm gonna have a birthday by the I'm gonna have a birthday the week we drop this episode too, so
There you go, yeah. But also, I do want to give proper due because with both teams in question, this was an exciting final in the fact that you don't see these teams often enough. In the Mallorca, for example, this is their first time reaching the finals since 2003. Now, granted, they did win it in 2003, but that's still a 21-year absence from a final as a whole. And then, as I mentioned with Athletic Bilbao, this was their attempt number six at this final, where they were thwarted by Barcelona four different times, and then the one time against Real Sociedad. So there was still, in a world where football is seemingly more and more controlled by money and sees more often than not the same winners winning the same titles over and over and over again, stuff like this is probably only going to happen once in our respective lifetimes. So we just got to enjoy it while it's here,
It's
ideally.
refreshing.
So,
Indeed, indeed. Well, good luck to both teams in the Copa del Rey finale.
Jeff, it already happened.
Oh, it
Yeah.
did. Oh, the final
Never mind.
happened.
Yeah.
Oh, it did.
That was
Oh,
today.
shit.
Yeah,
Oh,
we
it was
were
already
here.
today. Well, see, I had so much going on. I forgot it was today.
Hang on, Chris. He's muted you here, is what he's saying. He's muted you. He's not
No,
doing nothing there.
that's
It's
not
all
true at
good.
all.
It's all good. It's all good. But as mentioned, Athletic Bilbao did the thing. They won the Copa del
Well,
Rey this year,
there you
first
go.
time
Yeah,
in
John,
20 years.
go put that bet. Yeah, for
Yep.
sure.
Well, yeah,
We're all going to be
millionaires very late in our respective lives with this bet. But you know what? Considering it's been happening every 40 years since 1904, I feel pretty confident about this one.
It's like Kings and the X-Files here, one for the kids on that
There you
wrapper.
go. There you
Yep,
go.
pretty much just save it for the next generation of the family at that juncture.
Well,
The
John,
other thing they did win it.
how solvent are most betting companies in the UK? Because I hate for it to go under while you have this ticket.
They're mostly good at the minute, but you know, who said the country's falling to pieces, so it could all go to shit next year. Who knows?
Who knows, indeed.
That said, though, I did wanted to bring something else up because this situation has been ongoing over the last couple of weeks. There's a lot of tension, there's a lot of craziness, but have you all heard what happened today in the I think it was the Turkish Super Cup final? I
No.
have not.
Nope.
Between Fenerbahce and Galatasaray. So,
Oh,
whoa,
a very, very well-behaved
technicality.
game, usually, yes.
Whoa, no. There's a further level of unhinged this time around. So, Mauro Icardi scores in the first minute of that game. Fenerbahce, due to other circumstances that I'm going to be touching on here momentarily, walks off the pitch in the 4 minute mark. So, Galatasaray ends up getting their own reserves onto the field, starters versus reserves for the rest of the night, because they want to at least give the paying customers something to watch because of Fenerbahce walking out. Now, why did Fenerbahce walk out exactly, for those who may not be in the know? Well, there was a certain situation a couple of days dating back in which, at a game against Trabzonspor, at Trabzonspor, where Fenerbahce did win, Trabzonspor fans decided to storm the pitch and fight Fenerbahce players and staff. You know, typical Turkish football behavior, you know, completely unhinged, you know,
Okay, I did see
hockey
footage of
game.
that. I did see that
Yes.
happen.
So Fenerbahce are pissed off with the Turkish Football Federation because of their response to that recent on-field violence that their players suffered away to Trabzonspor last month. And the only reason they even showed up for the Super Cup final game is because if they fail to field the team in that final, they get a two-year ban from the Turkish Cup outright on that. But the reason for them storming out to begin with is because Trabzonspor initially faced a six-match spectator ban due to the actions of their supporters. But that punishment was reduced to 4 matches after Trabzonspor lodged an appeal with the Turkish Football Federation. So, Turkish football's crazy, y'all. And that's without going into the history of like Trabzonspor still feeling slighted after all these years of the one Turkish league title that they feel got stolen from them by, I want to say it was Fenerbahce, actually, but it could have been Galatasaray as well. I don't know for sure. But Trabzonspor has beef with pretty much all of the teams in Istanbul, like on site for this sort of thing. And again, shit escalated. So,
Turkish football never change, huh?
It won't. It hasn't changed in my lifetime, I don't think.
Oh boy. Well, while we're here, we're gonna do some behind the scenes stuff. So yeah, last episode the audio absolutely sucked, and I'm having to. I've determined it's my mic that's the problem. However, I'm on a headset and it's not doing all that much better. So I don't know. So we apologize ahead of time for all the for poor audio quality the last episode or two. I'm gonna have to investigate a new mic. But, that's just the cost of doing business, I guess.
If you guys think
Have you
Jeff is
seen?
loud on that, imagine what me and Chris have to put up with every week on the feed itself, man. Wow.
But have you seen?
It's like Ryan fucking blessed, I'm telling you.
All that I'm saying is, considering that your dose, Jeff, considering that your dulcet tones are what caused the good folks at Chirp Radio to reach their goals, including your own personal goal for donations,
That's right.
you should have one of their boys come by the house and, make sure at the very least that your current setup is like up to snuff on stuff.
Yeah.
If they want to maybe donate a new mic to you as well too, I mean,
They
by all
might.
means,
Yeah. Well, I mean, allegedly we're upgrading all the equipment, so maybe I could get a mic out of this one.
Yeah, I mean, hey, work the system. You worked for the system. Time to work the system itself a little bit there,
There we go.
a little brother
There we
situation.
go.
Hey.
All right. Well, I think we've newsed all the news we're gonna get
Yeah.
this week. So coming up, today's topic is MLS failing football. John, Chris, and Jeffrey dissect where Major League Soccer is going horribly wrong for the sport in the USA and elsewhere. Please stay tuned.
With the second half of episode 91 of the Busting Balls podcast, tonight, for your entertainment and education, is MLS failing football? John, Chris, and Jeffrey dissect where MLS is going horribly wrong for both the game in the US and world football. Guys.
First of all, I just realized that we've been saying it was episode 91 this whole time. It's actually episode 92.
Episode 92 of the Best in Balls podcast.
There we go. Yeah, I'm gonna have to re I'm gonna have to re redo that one. Oops. I don't usually fuck up this badly. But anyway, that's beside the point. So yeah, this one may be a little heavy on myself and Chris because this is happening in these United States. And Jonathan doesn't usually get
We don't hear this stuff generally. The Premier League eats the oxygen in the room.
well, yeah, well, not without reason. But anyway, so what we have going on is on April the 1st, we've had two incidents where the New York Red Bull side, their U17 and U15 squads were competing in the Generation Adidas tournament against other clubs, worldwide, because these incidents happens against both Monterrey and Hajduk Split, the Croatian team,
I expect, yep.
and in both in games against both, racism happened. In fact, there was a red shown by the referee in the Hajduk Split match. So, and because of this, Red Bulls withdrew from the semifinals. They've withdrawn from the cup entirely now. And this happened a couple of days ago as we record this. I've not ever heard of a side just actively pulling out of a tournament, especially one that they were in the midst of winning, because of this before.
I like the principle, I've got to say.
I like the principle too, but it seems like Major League Soccer was doing nothing about it on an
Yeah.
official level. This all came from the club itself.
So the club, surely the federation has to back the club on this.
You would think this, but it seems like, nothing had gone on. And, so Joshua Grant, who was the victim of the abuse against Monterrey, wrote this on Instagram at MLS Next, at MLS. Why do we continue to get racially abused in such a big of a tournament? Why do players like myself continue to be called monkeys by international teams? Today, the same thing happened to my fellow teammate. Please do something. And that was, Eric Tai, who got abused in the Hajduk split match.
Yeah, at that point, if there is those allegations are, you have to stand up for it. That's the job of your the
Yeah,
federation.
and one of the other academy members, Tanner Roseboro, who appears to be Caucasian, says, "Crazy man, two." And this was on an Instagram story. "Crazy man, two games in a row by international teams, our player have been called racist things. Eric is one of the most respectful and kind-hearted people I know, and what he's been called today is acceptable. Please help to spread this message because MLS and MLS Next are failing to do so, and something has to be done at this point."
Unbelievable. Go on, Chris. Yeah.
Yeah, just MLS and ineptitude have been kind of an ongoing thread for quite some time. It's very much the one step forward, two steps backwards situation with the league just about every year. We did in the league itself see a referee lockout happen for the first six regular for the six first 6 weeks of the regular season happening, and only came to an end just at the tail end of March. So that was a thing. Another, kind of moment in which they just did not think this through in terms of their scheduling was something like, for example, scheduling about 13 matches of their week calendar ha to happen at the same time as the NCAA Final Four. So, hey, if you don't want your product getting watched, I guess this is as good of a way as any to do it.
I mean,
But
I get
just.
that. I mean, I kind of get it. I mean, their show must go on too. But at the same time, yeah, there are certain times like, yeah, you don't want to have this going on during March Madness either. I mean, like, people take off work for March Madness, But I mean, in the grand scheme, that almost seems like a minor thing. But let's face it, we also know for years, even with the Apple TV deal. We all know that, yeah, MLS's TV situations, they always think it's a great deal, and then nothing. It's like one of the worst out there. Like, remember when MLS had like one game a week on national TV? It wasn't that long ago.
No, it really wasn't. But it's one of those things where, again, even if they had it on national TV 1 week, it was probably at a time slot where either something else was going on or people were just like, eh, I don't really feel like tuning into soccer today, which, soccer, football, I guess I'll just throw this as a parameter here. Call it whatever it is that you're used to calling it in your country. I do not care. Different countries use different terms for it. And trying this whole gatekeeping process for something that stupid alone is just it's a waste of time and is a waste of an argument where it could be your energy could be used in better places if you're talking about the sport as a whole. That minor rant aside, I did want to mention something really important when we talk about the MLS because people do seem to treat it with kid gloves to an extent of like, oh, they're still a young league, this and that. They're figuring things out. They got Lionel Messi this past year. Right now, the MLS has the sixth highest revenue in any football slash soccer league. 10th highest revenue of any professional sports league, by the way, just to give you a heads up on where they are on the echelon there as a whole.
Well, first of all, the young league, they're about to hit their 30th anniversary here.
I
I was going to say,
understand that,
come
Jeff, but still,
look.
they treat it with this sort of kid gloves like they're still 10 years and when it's been 30 at this point. But to go to that point, when you have that sort of revenue coming in to where you're in the top 10 of all sports, and this includes association sports as a whole, we're talking the NFL, the MLB, the Premier League, Serie A, La Liga, etc. With that sort of revenue, the salary cap in the MLS, which again, a salary cap is utterly ridiculous, and we'll get into why momentarily here.
Oh boy.
That's how free cap currently, I believe, is at $5 million a year. They may have increased it this season. I don't have, admittedly, don't have those specific numbers for this year in front of me. So if there are corrections to that, if they increase the salary cap from 5 million to something more this year, email us at bustingballspod@gmail.com, I believe is what it is, and let us know.
Yes, that's
But
right.
point is, if the cap is at that 5-6 million range per year, let's call it that, not per player, per team. Yes, I get that there are designated player slots, but that circumvent that. But if you're having designated player spots to circumvent these sorts of things, what the fuck is the point of a salary cap to begin with? A roster player in the MLS not being able to make more than 650K per year when they're making billions per year as a league is actually fucking ridiculous
Well,
outright.
we've discussed salary and transfer caps for global football because, we're tired of, Man City and PSG buying everybody. We've discussed that on this show before. Not specific for Major League Soccer. I think the reason why they have it there is because they're trying to be like American sports. And first of all, I think that's one of the biggest ways that it's failing the sport because it's trying to model it on how the NFL and the NBA do business.
And not to be funny, those are pretty much closed shops.
Well, yes, they are absolutely closed shops, which is why we don't have promotion relegation in the United States.
Oh.
And that was going to be my next point, actually, the no promotion relegation situation. I know people argue, hey, it gives it the MLS its own twist. It's different. They do things in the North American cycle. But here's the problem. When you're talking about growing the sport as a whole in the country, and given that the United States is a massive country with a huge stable of gifted athletes that are kind of all over the place, and those athletes are choosing basketball, baseball, American football, hockey. They're choosing those sports over association football slash soccer slash calcio, whichever. It's basically, you're kind of gatekeeping the sport in such a way that it's, and we've talked about this before in the sport, obviously, where association football in the United States is pay to play. There is no getting around that at this point. It's ridiculous how much of a pay to play system it is
It's
here.
true, yes. As I can attest from personal experience, yes.
Yeah. When you're in a nation of over 340 million people, but their main association football league can only pay 600 professional soccer players. This is fucking stupid. I'm sorry,
Well,
it just is.
yeah, and again, I want to bring this back around to the how we opened this topic is as you know. MLS likes to give a lot of lip service to no discrimination, but then here it is happening right in their face, and the Red Bulls players were feeling abandoned here.
Yeah,
And that's
right.
wrong.
Rightfully so.
That is
Yeah.
wrong. Especially, again, for all the lip service MLS plays, pays to, no discrimination on the pitch. And yet, the second it rears its ugly head, they can't, they tuck their tails.
Yeah. Just a lot of lip service from Don Garber and the USSF as a whole in situations like that. And just also the fact that, the situation with the U.S. Open Cup this past couple of weeks too, with the
Yeah, I
fact
want to talk
about
about that too.
MLS kind of decide, yeah, with the MLS deciding to basically outright, at this point, they're outright just trying to kill the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup outright in favor of a League's Nation Cup with Mexican teams that are not up to snuff anymore compared to years past in their leagues just for revenue. And then they talk about a congested schedule being one of the reasons to why they don't want their teams playing in the US Open Cup. And it's like, you made this schedule. You are the reason for this.
We're
What
all
in the
trying to find
actual?
out who did this. Oh boy. Yeah, I mean that's ridiculous too. And the only benefit to this League's Cup just seemed to be so that, you know, Lionel Messi could have gotten a free trophy in his first week, you know, in his first month in Major League Soccer. Whereas the Open Cup has history behind it. Like, you know, it's the oldest competition of its kind in this country. And, of course, it was modeled on the FA Cup, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's despicable, honestly. I mean, do you think that Chicago Fire is not proud of their Open Cup wins? Let me tell you, no, they are. They definitely are. They still talk about them, you know?
Yeah. It's just when you have a bunch of billionaire gatekeepers being the ones with the major power and balance over an entire sport, things like these happen. And serious situations slip by the cracks, such as what's been happening on the Red Bull, New York Red Bull's under 15 side, as we just witnessed
right.
there. As
well, I think there was a lot of. There's a lot of concern about the U.S. Open Cup on the part of Major League Soccer, primarily because for a long time, New York City FC was getting embarrassed by the New York Cosmos, who were an NASL team.
Yeah.
Who had, you know, all the big names, obviously, back start with the 70s.
Well, no, actually, no. It's a different Cosmos
different
team.
One? Different
it's
one?
A different cool. Cosmos team. They were made new, basically.
Just grab the name, right.
Just grab the name, yeah. And the badge, too. But yeah, no, it does not. It is not the same club that had Pelé and Franz Beckenbauer and
many English players.
Yeah. But, I mean, and that's a topic for a whole other. That's another whole other topic to discuss. But, you know, there are occasions when, yeah, the MLS sides are losing to. You know, USL and well, I mean, NASL is no, I don't think is even around anymore. I think it's all been absorbed into USL. But the USL teams were embarrassing them. And now suddenly, because they were taking it seriously, whereas the MLS sides weren't. But, you know, it's always two MLS sides who go to the final anyway. And now MLS trying to, you know, deprioritize the Open Cup. I mean, do you remember when Alex Ferguson withdrew Man U from the FA Cup in favor of, what was it, the Club World Cup,
Club
I
World
think?
Cup, yeah.
Yeah, and that was, say again?
2000, I think that was.
I believe so, yeah. That was an embarrassment.
Yeah, it was huge over here. You know, they were asking the Prime Minister to comment on that.
Like, how do you willingly withdraw from your domestic cup?
As I understand it, there was pressure put on the actual political pressure put on them to do that.
By whom?
I think the government for a start off, which was why the pressure being put on was weird. And I think obviously FIFA want them to represent, you know, the continent in that tournament.
Right, but, you know,
yeah.
So why is it always, you know, the domestic cups that have to take a back seat to all this? And yet but you know, they also want to feed us the magic of the cup.
It's the scheduling, because I don't know if you remember the year Liverpool went to the Club World Cup finals. We were not allowed to shift the game against Villa, so we literally had to put out an under-18 team.
I remember this.
Before we went out to the Club World Cup. It's just the schedule worldwide is fucked.
Right, but again, as Chris astutely pointed out, MLS made this problem.
Yeah.
That particular problem. And which do you think is going to benefit football in this country in the long term?
I'd say not the glut of games, because
right.
that will.
I'm talking between the League's Cup and participating in the traditional U.S. Open Cup. Which do you think is going to benefit the game more long term in this country?
Yeah, not well. Obviously, I don't see it, but I'm pretty sure you guys are right on that one, because you cannot. We you know, it's like anyone else. They see the solution to football making money as there being more games and more games and more games. And something has to give eventually.
Well, it's just because, you know, Major League Soccer, like every other league on, you know, every other league on earth, doesn't seem to see their players as people. They seem to see them as commodities,
Yes.
as tools,
Product.
as a
Yeah.
product. There you go. Content, shall we
Content.
say.
Content is what they are.
Yeah.
Yeah, are games content too? I mean.
Totally. Everything's con
But.
Jeff, we're in the internet age where everything is content.
Yeah, well, yeah,
I
well, yeah.
fucking
Let's
hate
not get
that.
into that issue,
Yeah.
but you
Yeah, the
know,
can of
I,
worms itself. Yeah.
right? But I mean, it's not like, and it's not like the league isn't trying to make hash out of all this anyway, because of all the way that ticket prices are now getting jacked up for all traveling inter Miami games on the idea you may get to see Lionel Messi.
If he
Yeah.
plays.
And again, it's just astounding in a way, and like how they'll capitalize on that and then still just not pay some of their players, you know, like the kind of wages that would make them think, hey, maybe I should stick around with this league as a whole instead of trying to fuck off to Europe or South America or somewhere else that will pay a living wage kind of
Well, I mean,
situation.
look
And
at
it,
the U.S. men's team that just fielded, you know, and just won against Mexico in the Nations League final. We looked it up. There were more MLS players playing for the Jamaican national team than there were
yeah.
on the U.S. men's national team.
Greg
And
Berhalter actually getting a call up right is weird.
A couple of USL players on the Jamaican team too, I will add.
Yeah. But again, to go back to the point of the cup as well, too, and just the magic with the Open Cup that the MLS is missing out on, just to give you some insight on some of the things that, at least a very interesting story that's happened throughout it. El Farolito, which is a semi-pro club based out of San Francisco, California, and named after a chain of burrito restaurants, made their way to the third round of the Open Cup after upsetting a USL team in Fuego FC. Do you want to know who they beat before that?
Do tell.
The MLS NexPro side for Portland Timbers,
Wow.
aka Don Garber and the MLS tried to sell the MLS NexPro teams as, oh, this is our MLS representation into the cup. They can play just as good as the MSL teams. And then you have a semi-pro team doing this to one of their sides and then to a USL side.
I
It's
mean, to be
just,
fair, we've seen this in the FA Cup too, so
oh yeah,
I
what,
mean, to
oh
be
yeah,
fair.
100%. But the point is, if you're doing this whole thing where these MLS teams are skipping out because they think the competition's not up to par. I'm like, no, I think you're just running away from being embarrassed by one of these lower league teams and kind of proving your whole model is not exactly where it should be.
Well, I mean, yeah, and I said that already, and I said that already,
Yeah, to
you know,
further emphasize that in
yeah, to
this
further
case, yeah, of
emphasize
course.
that point, yeah, because yeah, I mean, it's just what is, I mean, I don't get it. I mean, what is Major League Soccer afraid of mostly? Like everybody knows about Major League Soccer, they know it's not a European, it's not up to snuff with a Europe. I mean, if there's any European league it's up to snuff with, it's probably Scotland. If I'm
Yeah.
honest,
Yeah,
which I think
you're
is a fair
behind the
assessment, honestly. You know.
Yeah, I'd be interested. Celtic have played friendlies over there. How have they done over in the US?
I mean, they played a couple, at least one All-Star game.
Yeah.
But yeah, they play friendlies over there. Matter of fact, I'm going to go see Celtic in July.
Hey.
But they're playing Chelsea at Notre Dame Stadium, so.
Well,
But,
you know, you've got to put up with these kind of no history jumped up clubs, you know.
yeah, you know. But anyway, yeah, I mean we have, I mean they always bring, I mean yeah, they bring European teams over for like the All-Star game. I mean Arsenal was that a season or two ago.
Yeah, I know Liverpool have been over, so.
Yeah. And you know, but that seems to be the only time they want to prove themselves. But you also got to prove yourself against lower division teams too. If you want to exist in an ecosphere, you know, in a ecosphere of football. Because football does not happen in a vacuum, it turns out.
And I mean, the impression I'm getting, more important than you guys, the MLS, which was, I believe, set up to develop players, is not fulfilling that function.
I
And if you
mean,
got
well,
them,
they may be, but how many players are we also hearing that, they developed in the academies of other clubs, of Euro clubs?
but yeah, it's like Weston McKennie, that kind of player.
Giovanni Reyna, Christian Pulisic.
Yeah.
Like, these are not players who have been in the MLS ecosphere.
They have left the country and gone to develop. They and good for them on that front. But oh,
Yeah,
it's
I
but
mean, but I
it's
mean, yeah, I
not.
mean, when you look at it, and they say that, the domestic league is where you're supposed to, the domestic league is where you're supposed to build players, and
Yeah.
yet, like I said, most of the majority of the U.S. men's national team that was fielded during the Open Cup, or not the Open Cup, the Nations League final, played in Europe.
And that tells you cannot hold on to those players when they're developed. As Chris said, the issue with the salary cap is killing it here.
Well, it also tells me that
And the quality of football.
maybe MLS isn't developing players, is what I'm
Yeah,
hearing. They're just
indeed.
not doing it. I mean, there was a time when, yeah, I was actively watching Major League Soccer games, and the quality of the games had, okay, yes, the chaos factor has gone way up. Okay, fine. If you're into that sort of thing, that's great.
I mean that Chicago Fire goal from the other week in the last minute as a winner. Oh my Lord.
Yeah, well,
Yeah.
that was their only win up until yesterday, by
Ooh,
the
that's
way.
chaos. Oh, and then
Because
also,
Chicago
I can
Fire
say
are
this.
awful
Yeah, I
because
can say this too because I did go to actually see my first MLS game in person between the Colorado Rapids and the Houston Dynamo just this past like weekend as a whole, just because I wanted to kind of see the stadium for the first time, and tickets were only like $15, so it wasn't like that bad of a deal for it. Stadium was nice, atmosphere was nice, but then the football itself was just kind of shoddy in parts, and the Rapids aren't exactly world beaters by any stretch, so I had to watch them concede a 96-minute late game winner to Houston 1-0, so that was something, I guess. But it's just, again, it's one of those things like the MLS in general, like they have really good stadiums. They have fans that want to like actively be a part of these communities and just, partake in the sport, but the sport itself high up is kind of crippling it in certain ways there. So just it's frustrating more than anything.
Yeah, it is. I mean, fans are into it. I mean, there are, dyed-in-the-wool supporters groups, so I'll give them that. But, a lot of times it's also very manufactured too. The supporters groups are very manufactured. And I can say that from experience because I was at the birth of one of them in now the USL. They were in the NASL when they formed the Indianapolis team, Indy 11. They
It's trying to put something in artificially, whereas you cannot do that with football. It doesn't work.
yeah. I mean, it turns out that yeah, the Indy group is one of the loudest supporters groups in football, which is nice. And they do get into it, but I mean, there's a certain bit of manufacturedness to it all in America. And well, I mean, I guess you could say that about America in general, couldn't you?
Well, I wasn't going there, but if you want to start it, I'm happy to.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Now, are they failing football? Right now, yes, they are. I think they are. I don't think it's a good representative of it's right now not a good representation of what the sport is.
No, no.
And I'm glad that there are people who enjoy it, but it's I don't know. I mean, I think that again, this incident with the Red Bull U15s and U17s puts a really bad taste in my mouth. Really bad taste. And I just don't know if that's going to be good long term for the sport or, especially its younger players.
Yeah, you have to walk the walk, as we said. It's you cannot allow that racism to start and go almost unpunished, essentially.
Yeah. And and there's been rumors about at least one Major League Soccer club having a, shall we say, white supremacist supporters group. There's been
Oof.
rumors about that. I'm not going to get into that, but just know that those rumors are out there. But for what it's worth, Chris, do you have anything else you want to say on this topic?
I think we covered a majority of it, but I did also just find out within the past couple of minutes here, as my internet's been kind of fluctuating in and out, that during the youth, this particular youth tournament in question too, the Flamengo youth team apparently tried to start a brawl with the Philadelphia Union's youth team as well. So just
Oh no.
madness in that whole crazy tournament there going on, along the rampant racism of the U15 side as well that we've been mentioning about. It's just
Dude, good grief.
yeah, this is good Lord, man. It's
Man, doesn't sound great, does it?
no, it does not.
Yeah. Well, this is another one of those topics we're gonna have to keep tabs on. But right now, yeah, I think that right now, yeah, Major League Soccer is not doing great. If we're developing the sport or, protecting its players from such incidents right now. If you have any opinions on this yourself, you can always hit us up on Twitter at bussingballspod or email us at bussingballspod@gmail.com, rather. You have been listening to this on our native SoundCloud feed, soundcloud.com/busting-balls, or the PWOM podcast network, soundcloud.com/prowrestlingonly, and you can find us on Spotify, search Busting Balls Podcast. This actually was episode 92, not 91. I don't know why I kept saying 91, and now I messed John up, and my audio sucks, and Jimi Hendrix is dead, and Hulk Hogan's a racist. My whole world's falling apart here, so. Shout out to Hannibal Buress if you're out there listening.
But hey, Arsenal are top of the league, so it's not all bad.
It's not all bad, and I guess technically so are Celtic, but
There you go. Come on.
technically, but yeah, there's that
The world's
looming
not
game in
enough.
hand that the Huns have. So, John and Chris, any last words?
No, I'm just saying I don't care what the results say. Man United still suck them balls off a sweaty dead dog.
Oof. Ah, John, Jesus. Getting
That
edgy.
said, yo, if you all will excuse me, I need to go suffer for the next 75 to 80 while watching my team in a final against a local rival. So, y'all have fun.
Good luck.
Right, we'll see. Until then, it's good night for me.
And it's good night from them.
We'll be back in a few weeks.